Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Abundant Life Ministries has moved to a new location in Palm City, Florida. We're currently meeting at the Palm City Civic Organization. It's located at 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City, Florida. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for weekly services. Join us now as we go to a service in progress.
It is time for all of us to be a voice that speaks what God has to say. And this is the message for the Jews, but it's also for us, that I will pour out my Spirit. We think about Pentecost as where God poured out His Spirit and birthed the church, but God is saying there's going to be another outpouring, and that outpouring is going to be upon my people, upon the Jewish nation, and I will pour grace upon them. And where there's been judgment, where there's been criticism, where there's been condemnation, I am going to bring a spirit of grace. And they're going to be awakened. When they look on me, whom they pierced, they're going to mourn for him as an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn son who has died. And it tells us the sorrow and mourning in Jerusalem on that day will be so grievous. It'll be like the grievous mourning of Hadad-Ramon in the Valley of Megiddo. All Israel, this is coming. This is what's coming. All Israel will weep in profound sorrow, each family by itself, with the husbands and the wives in separate groups. The ladies' prayer meetings in Israel are going to turn into revelation meetings of God. The men, their hearts are going to be melted. Their eyes are going to be opened. Jewish people, by the thousands, by the millions, they're going to be awakened in a moment. And the family of David will mourn along with the family of Nathan. This is repentance. Israel as a whole nation is going to be awakened to who their Messiah is. This is exciting. These are the days that we live in. The family of Levi, the family of Shimei, each of the surviving families. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. And on that day, a fountain will be opened. We used to sing that song, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood wash all their guilty stains." Zechariah is given the message that the fountain that was opened a couple thousand years ago is still going to be flowing. But to those who are repenting, the Jewish nation will repent and the fountain will be flowing for them. It will be open for them. The dynasty of David, and for the people of Jerusalem, a fountain to cleanse them from all their sins and defilement. This is powerful. Verse 2, and the Lord says on that day, "Lord Almighty, I will get rid of every trace of idol worship throughout the land." It's coming. Chapter 13. We see this of the fountain. Chapter 14, still in Zechariah. "Watch, for the day of the Lord is coming, when your possessions will be plundered right in front of you. On that day I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses plundered, the women raped, half the population will be taken away into captivity, half will be left among the ruins. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations." This is coming. It's coming. Nations all around Psalms talks about it, how they're all gathering. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations, as He fought in times past. Listen, we started reading in Acts, didn't we? Where Jesus was standing on the Mount of Olives. And He sends up into the heavens to be seated at the right hand of God, to be our great intercessor. But the day is coming when the word's going to be fulfilled that those two angelic messengers said. They said, "Why are you gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus that's taken from you will return." Here was the prophet, hundreds of years before that took place, giving this word from God. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as He fought in times past. On that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will split apart, making a wide valley running from east to west. For half the mountain will move toward the north, half toward the south, and you will flee through this valley. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon. These are days for the church to live in the fullness of Pentecostal power and to not be ashamed of who we are and who He is, but to recognize that Jesus is coming. He is coming. He is coming again. I read that in verse 12 that the Lord is going to send a plague on all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their people will become like walking corpse. Their flesh rotting away. Their eyes will shrivel in their sockets. Their tongues will decay in their mouths. This is what's going to happen to those who are opposing Israel when Jesus comes back. Let me tell you, the trumpet's going to sound, the church is going to be caught away, and then Jesus is going to come back and He is going to straighten out the mess that's in the Holy Land. And no one else is going to straighten it out. He is going to straighten it out. And getting rid of the Hezbollah and everything else, all the other groups, is not going to bring peace. There's no peace except through the Prince of Peace. We read this. This is in the Word of God. When people say, you know, why should we be awakened? Why should we be aware? Why should the church be getting the word right in these days? Because we're living on the verge, on the edge of this taking place right now. This is the news that hasn't been put into the paper yet, but it will be. It will be. And it's right here in the Word of God. On that day, they will be terrified, stricken by the Lord with great panic. They will fight against each other in hand-to-hand combat. Judah too will be fighting at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the neighboring nations will be captured. Great quantities of gold and silver and fine clothing. This same plague will strike the horses, mules, camels, donkeys, and all the other animals in the enemy camps. And in the end, the enemies of Jerusalem who survived the plague will go up to Jerusalem each year to worship the King. To worship the King. Hallelujah. And any nation anywhere in the world that refuses to come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty will have no reign. And it goes on to talk about those who may choose not to during the millennial period. Well, hallelujah. Let's go back to Acts. Took you on a little journey there, didn't I? Because this is the action. This is coming. These are the days that we are living in. And so Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Here we are. 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them. It filled the house where they were meeting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, we already talked about it this morning. What preceded this? There were 10 days where they were seeking God together. Jesus said, go and wait, go and tarry. Now, I know that Jesus had breathed on the disciples prior to this time and told them, receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus actually prayed over the disciples before this date, but it would be on Pentecost that they would actually receive. But I want you to take note of a few things from this passage this morning. There isn't anybody laying hands on any of them. Now, I know that the apostles went out, laid hands on people, they received the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand that the birthday of the church was a day where God put His Spirit upon people without human hands being involved. I want to encourage you this morning to know that God knows your address and knows how to put His Spirit not just upon, but inside of you who are His people. Not a thing wrong with laying on of hands, anointing with oil. Not a thing wrong with others praying for you. But I'm confident that the same God who moved in that place, in that upper room, is moving in this room this morning. You see, they didn't even really know what to expect. Jesus didn't tell them what all was going to happen. He just said, go and wait. And I'll tell you what, they'd never experienced a morning like that in their whole life. They'd been with Jesus, they'd seen miracles, they'd seen dead people raised, but they had never individually experienced God's presence and power in that kind of a way. Because now it was not only the name of Jesus that they would carry with them in the gospel and the good news, but now it is very God Himself who moves inside of them and enables them to represent who God is to the watching world. So we see this, we read this, we're familiar with it. And incidentally, we know that there were more than 11 in that upper room, don't we? There were maybe 120 in that upper room, right? And we also know something else. We know that this was not just men that were going to receive this outpouring of God's Spirit. It would be men and women that would collectively, incidentally, they're praying together. They're going to receive together. This is different than the way we see some things happening in the church where we have the ladies on one side, the men on another side. I don't know if they had sides in that upper room. All I know is they were praying together and they were sharing together. They were worshiping together and God met them all together. They all received. They all received. And I want you to know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all of us. It's for all of us in this room. It's for the Baptist. It's for the Methodist. It's for the born again if they're in the Presbyterian church. It's for the born again if they're in independent churches. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is God's plan for the church. It's not outdated. We're not going to belittle the importance of the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the manifestation of God because God's presence is needed. And so we welcome you, Father. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to move into our lives fully, completely possessing us and speaking to us and through us and working in us and through us, those who are around. around us. There's a sound from heaven like a mighty wind. Everyone was filled. Godly Jews from many nations were living in Jerusalem at that time. It's Pentecost, right? So people had come by the thousands from all these nations. They heard the sound. They came running to see what it was all about. This is one thing that I've experienced on more than one occasion, and I'm looking for more. When God begins to move, people all around hear about it and come and want to know what's going on. We can advertise. We can have the best of the best of everything, but there is nothing that touches a city, a region, a family like the presence and power of God operating in His church. We cannot put on productions and performances that can be compared with the real manifestation of God. And that manifestation of God is going to come forth through you and me who are His people. God will show up and He will do a tremendous work in us and through us, and others will be compelled to take notice that God is with us. As we were praying this morning, and I was thrilled to hear many of you lifting up prayer, I was thinking of those early apostles where the well-educated leaders said, "What is with these men? We know they're common." That's basically what they said. These are common people. They're not educated like us. They're not religious professionals like we are. What is with them? We know they're common people. But no one could deny the fact that they'd been with Jesus. And that's what made the difference. And I know we're beyond our days of fasting. We start every year with a season of fasting. But could I encourage you again to prepare your hearts in the mornings and welcome the presence of God to come and fill you up for every day. But before you come in on a Sunday morning, could I encourage you to bow your knees or bow your head and humble your heart and say, "God, we're welcoming you to be with us as we gather together this morning." Not just on Pentecost Sunday, but on every Sunday, on every day. God, we need you. We want you to be visible. We want people who need you to see and to receive. Yes, we see all this taking place. Some decided they were drunk, and that was their explanation. They were beside themselves with wonder. How can this be? In verse 7, "These people are all from Galilee, yet we hear them speaking the languages of the lands we were born in." So understand, there is a miracle here. Some would speak of this as being known languages, and they were known languages. But who was hearing the known language? One person is speaking, but all of the people are hearing in different languages. And so the miracle of the Holy Spirit is to enable each speaker to be a witness for Christ. So whether it's the tongue that is speaking the miraculous message, or whether it's the ear that's hearing the miraculous message, both the tongue and the ear were transformed on the day of Pentecost. How are we hearing? It gives the list of all the nations they're from. They stood amazed, verse 12, and perplexed. What could this mean? And others in the crowd mocking, "They're drunk, that's all." And Peter stepped forward with the 11 and begins to speak. And what he has to say now is worth listening to. A lot of other occasions, Peter had a big mouth and he had a big boast. But Pentecost did something to Peter. It changed him. He was changed all throughout the rest of his life. In fact, we have history telling us that Peter, even up to the last moment where he is going to die as a martyr and they're going to crucify him, he said, "Don't crucify me with my head up. Put my feet up. I'm not worthy to die as my Lord died." The Holy Spirit took the stutter out of Peter's mouth and took the stutter out of his walk and brought into him a powerful anointing that guided him for the rest of his days. Peter stood up with the 11, shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, make no mistake. Some of you are saying these people are drunk. It isn't true. It's too early for that. People don't get drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning." This translation is the timing of the day in. By 9 o'clock in the morning. Let me ask you, what time did they show up to seek God that morning? If by 9 o'clock they're already on the streets. Must have been an early service. What do you think? They didn't sleep in that upper room. Most believe they went home in the evenings, went back to their homes, took care of their kids, took care of their daily responsibilities, just like often we do during revival times. But on this day, on Pentecost, somehow after they'd come together in agreement as they were praying and seeking God, they knew God was going to do something and they didn't want to miss it. I don't know if they arrived at 7 in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, but I know this, that by 9 o'clock they're out on the streets and they're out sharing the Word of God. No, what you see this morning was predicted centuries ago. I love the message that He gives. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Any of you have sons and daughters? Have any grandchildren? This is the day we're living in. We need to remind ourselves what God said, that your sons and your daughters, I will pour out my spirit. You know, this is from Joel. I will pour out my spirit upon all people, your sons and your daughters. Tell you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as for me and my house, this is my prayer, that my sons will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In other words, they're not going to be limited to the natural mind, but the coming of the Holy Spirit releases the anointing of God from heaven to come and to move upon us and upon our families, upon my servants, men and women alike. They will prophesy. I got to just stop and say something because God's speaking it into my heart. It's not too late for you to have your Pentecost. You haven't had it yet. And you may say, well, I'm a little old. I don't really expect that God's going to bring dreams to me or visions to me. Of course, we know it's the old men, you know, so I'm not sure. I think I still have some visions. So I think I'm still a young man maybe, but you know, young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. It's not too late, family. It's not too late for any one of us to allow God to stand up taller than He ever has in our life before, and to be more verbal than we've ever been before, and to be more surrendered than we've ever been before, and say, God, take full control of this life, that whatever I have left, God, it's yours. Whatever I have left, it's yours. That morning during resurrection season, I was in Martin Memorial in those days looking out the window. We had big plans and big services at our church. That morning, I was there the result of an accident. The enemy was telling me that I would never live to speak again. And if I did live, I would never live to be able to do what God had called me to. I remember that morning, and in those days, there was a growing sound of the Holy Spirit that was inside of me, and it was touching my spiritual ears, and I was hearing the message that God was saying, just give me whatever you have, John. Whatever the enemy says, just give me whatever is left. Give it to me, whatever is left. And I remember saying inside silently first and then out loud saying, if all I can do is whisper, I will still shout with a whisper that God is my Savior, that Jesus has redeemed me, that Jesus is the Son of God, that redemption is for everyone. If all I can do is whisper, whether I live a night or a moment or a week or a month or a year, God, whatever you give me, I'm giving it back. I want all of your anointing on the remainder of my life. And I want to challenge you this morning, as we're on this Pentecost morning, that Pentecost has not stopped, and God is looking for people who will still go out of these doors and be a living torch that is ignited by the power of a living God, who will not be shut down or silenced because of maybe your past. Pentecost does something with all of our failures. It makes sure it's under the blood of Jesus. Peter doesn't go out talking about, I'm a worm. He doesn't go out and say, you know, you all need to understand, I'm not worthy to be up here speaking to you because I just denied the Lord hours ago. I cursed, I swore, I ran. He doesn't do any of that, because when the Holy Spirit comes, there's one message. It elevates Jesus Christ. It doesn't dig into your trash. It doesn't go backward. It goes forward, and it ignites you to be a witness in the future that God has called you to and given you. And so, you know, here Peter's quoting the Word of God, and he's talking about what God's going to do. In verse 21, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is our day. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's a lot more of that to come. A lot more of that to come. And he goes on and he preaches, people of Israel, listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth. And he reviews with them what Jesus did. They already knew. But he talks about the wonderful miracles, the wonders, and the signs. And he preaches that. He says, this is what Jesus did. His life and his ministry and his calling and who he was affirmed by all of these things. He did everything that the Messiah was to do. He has done it amongst us. But then he said, you followed God's prearranged plan. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross, murdered him. However, God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life again. For death could not keep him in its grip. breath. Then you get down to this point where God begins to convict them. God begins to deal with those who are listening. As he continues to speak, and he says, and the Father gave it down in verse 33. Now he sits talking about Jesus, elevated Jesus. He sits in the highest honor in heaven, God's right hand of the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit. So the Father gave him who? The Holy Spirit. Jesus to pour out upon us. The Father's the giver of the gift. Jesus pours out the gift upon us, just as you see and you hear today. So let it be clearly known by everyone in Israel that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. And verse 37, that same Holy Spirit's now working. He worked through Peter to speak the words. Now the Holy Spirit is convicting the hearts. And they were convicted deeply. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And look at what he said. They should do. Each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God. That's called repentance. That's believing and repenting and turn to God. And then what? Be baptized. Be baptized. And I mentioned this the other evening. I'm going to mention it again this morning. You may have been baptized as a child, but as a child, you could not make a decision to follow Jesus. That's a decision your parents made. So if you have made a decision to follow Christ, water baptism does not save you, but it is a testimony. It's a public testimony that you have laid your life down and God has raised you up in life. It's a testimony that Jesus is Lord of your life. And everyone who is born again, if you can be, you should be baptized.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with. I fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grace? victory. I triumph still if thou abide with me.